She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I promise you, for this show, the only challenge is going to be for you to be able to think fast enough. I have to do this shout out to the supporters of Mrs. Green's World, because this show is made possible due to the generous support of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. And their goal is to build safe, decent, affordable, quality houses for people in need. And what a great job they're doing at that. They're great partners of Mrs. Green's World. And you can learn more about them if you are in Tucson by visiting HabitatTucson.org. And for all of our national and global listeners, visit Habitat.org to find out what it means to support Habitat for Humanity in your community. They are truly transformative, too. So I'm laughing out loud. I cannot help it. I'm goofy with excitement, not ashamed of that one bit. So without further ado, let me introduce you to our guest for today. And trust me when I say there are no words to describe this force on Earth. Feel the force, Luke. It is your destiny, and we're going to like go way past Luke. He goes by many names, but the one he loves most, I think, besides Honey, is the Green Bronx Machine. His real name is Stephen Ritz, and even though I know that he is dying to get started, let me give him a proper introduction. Steve, can you handle it if I say a little bit about you?
I'm holding on by my green fingernails.
It's really so great. I think it's really important for our listeners who may not have heard of him, and if not, why not? Here goes a little bit. Steve Ritz is a South Bronx educator, administrator, who truly believes every cell in his body believes that students shouldn't have to leave their community to live, learn, and to earn a better life, live in a better world. He's moving generation of students into spheres of personal and academic successes, which they had never dreamed of. We're talking about kids that really didn't have dreams. And I have worked with at-risk populations my entire life, and I'm going to try and get the words out too. Stephen's extended student and community family have grown more than 30,000 pounds of vegetables, and I'm sure that's an old number, in the Bronx while generating extraordinary academic performance. He was recently named 2015 top 10 finalist for the $1 million Global Teacher Prize. All these things, like, I am standing in awe. His accolades include a 2014 Greenius Award. I had to look at that twice because he is a Greenius. 2014 Green Difference Award, 2013 Latin Trends Award, ABC Above and Beyond Award, Chevrolet General Motors National Green Educator Award, USS Intrepid Hometown Hero Award, New York City's Chancellor's Award. And why would I go through all that? I'll tell you why from my heart. Because this is one man who is making a difference for the planet every single day with everything he does. And I think he deserves long introductions. And what makes me happy is that people are recognizing what he's doing, which helps him be the green energizer buddy and keep on going. So I think that's all I'm going to say for the rest of the show. There you go, Steve.
All righty, let's get started.
Let her rip. Let her rip.
Hello, Mrs. Green. How are you?
It's just so great to reconnect with you, and you just stay in my heart. And I want you to tell people how the Green Bronx Machine was born and what was driving you crazy back in the beginning days when you started moving this machine forward.
Well, we are born out of the simple belief that we are Americans. And in Arizona, hello, Sheriff Joe, we are Mexicans,
oh
Dominicans, African-Americans. And this is our moment. And we need to go from being a nation of red states and blue states to a united nation of green states, living eloquently and ecologically in line with Mother Nature. But what does it really mean? Bringing it a little closer from 30,000 feet up high down to the ground. It means that in the poorest congressional district in America, we are moving those who are apart from success to becoming a part of it in ways that benefit 100% of society. And that's what it's about. I like to say that the kids are my seeds, and I'm hoping to plant them. And what are seeds? Well, seeds represent genetic potential. And I want all of my kids to reach their God-given genetic potential here in the beautiful Bronx County. And so we are growing something greater in the South Bronx. I like to say we're growing vegetables, but my vegetables are growing children.
It's like you're getting to see that too. And it's in preparing for the show and absolutely overworking it when I knew I didn't have to because it's you. It literally started with getting kids to put their hands in dirt and watch things grow. That's not an oversimplification.
No, you have got it dead on. I mean, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a green guy. I have no scientific background. But 35,000 pounds of vegetables later now, my favorite crop is organically grown citizens, graduates, members of the middle class, kids who are going to college and staying the hell out of somebody else's jail. We're just growing a whole new economy here. And that's what it's about. But remarkably, when I was doing gang task force work and working with overage, undercredited kids in a high school, someone sent me a box of bulbs, daffodil bulbs. I didn't even know what the hell they were. We hid them behind the radiator, and what do you know? The heat forced them in one day when a kid was looking for a weapon in an actual fight. There are hundreds of flowers growing in this classroom behind a radiator, and lo and behold, that was the impetus to growing something greater. The boys wanted to give them to the girls for sex. The girls wanted to sell them. That year, we planted 25,000 bulbs across New York City to commemorate 9/11, putting kids into neighborhoods they never imagined walking into, and instead being welcomed and thanked, and we were on our way, and here we are a couple of years later. We've taken this program from New York to California, from Vermont to Florida. I think it's rather remarkable that a teacher from the South Bronx traveled to the nation of Colombia in South America to send out a si se puede message and to think what the relationship was between the South Bronx and Colombia in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and to think that we can export our talent and diversity there to inspire the next generation to grow something greater and greener around the world is truly a si se puede moment. And along the way, I got to meet you. How cool, Mrs. Green.
We got to spend time together.
We're calling this from hope to the Pope. I even got to meet him. How cool is that? And I'm so excited. The Pope will be here in New York City. But yes, to be recognized as a top 10 global teacher finalist is pretty damn cool. Hi, Mom, if you're listening.
I love it. So, first of all, si se puede. It means yes, you can, but it also means yes, it is possible. And to me, that's the essence of Steve Ritz. You help kids change the message literally inside their heads from no,
from
I can't.
Impossible
to possible.
I'm possible.
I am possible.
To I'm possible.
I am
just
possible.
Where you put the apostrophe. Impossible to I'm possible. And I believe that with education and hope, everything is possible. And I guess the one title you forgot to say is really, I am CEO, Chief Eternal Optimist of Bronx County. And, you know, literally my job is to love kids until they learn to love themselves. You know, we can talk data, we can talk facts, we can talk statistics. But the one thing that we know is that children who have access to one kind, caring adult in their life tend to be more successful in life. And by hook or crook, I am determined to be that one kind, caring, consistent adult that kids have access to on a day-to-day basis. And I'd like to tell you it's rooted in a whole lot of stuff, but really it's rooted in love. It's just that simple. That crazy four-letter word. Love.
Love, love. And the kids follow you around like the Pied Piper. Okay, we're going to skip around. I'm going to apologize in advance to all the thousands of listeners. There's no script here. Talk about Pope Francis. And I'm going to make kind of a joke, but he's following in your footsteps. Finally, a global spokesperson actually talking about climate change. Go. Tell
us. Well, he is the people's pope. I like to say he's popealicious.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
you have to hashtag that on Twitter.
What? Hashtag Popealicious? Popealicious. From, you know, we're calling this from hope to the Pope. But yes, I was honored. I was blessed. I was humbled to be invited to the Vatican, largely due to my participation and my recognition through the Global Teacher Prize. I was a top 10 Global Teacher finalist, and I always say that I didn't go there to compete, but rather to complete a team of equity warriors. Remarkably, my work is at the critical intersection of so much of what this Pope, the People's Pope, is all about, whether it's food justice, climate justice, disengaged and disconnected youth, and of course, a healthier, more robust planet, and putting an end to poverty and putting an end to hunger in this lifetime. And remarkably, in my community, which is the 62nd poorest county in all of New York State, the poorest congressional district in America, we are doing just that. We are growing food and harvesting hope and cultivating minds. I'm presently building out the National Health, Wellness, and Learning Center. You could learn all about it on the Green Bronx Machine website, www.greenbronxmachine.org, or check out the kids on their Facebook page and learn more about it. In fact, we're even going to be featured on PBS this coming Saturday as part of the American Graduate Series, one of the 30 best programs in the country dedicated to moving kids towards graduation.
Steve Ritz and in a PBS, and in a community that it will never be the same.
It will never. Listen, I'm going to go digging in Oscar the Grouchy's garbage can and say, dude, it's time to compost. Hello, can you hear me? I'm going to get my bow tie out and put on Oscar for a smackdown. But that's okay. I mean, but seriously, the work that I've been doing, you know, my epiphany started, I guess, in about 2006 or 2007 when I gave a speech at Columbia University called From Crack to Cucumbers, where I brought kids who were formerly selling crack and heroin to Columbia University to talk about how their lives got better simply by selling locally grown vegetables. And we haven't stopped since. But the simple story is, it is easier to raise healthy children than fix broken men. And after years of working with overage, undercredited children or young adults and disconnected adults, I decided I was just going to put this program into elementary school and start as young as possible. And literally, that's exactly what I'm doing with the National Health, Wellness, and Learning Center. We are taking over a building in a 100-year-old library, four stories up in the largest stretch of public housing in America. Again, the building's over 100 years old. You can only imagine the environmental constraints and
challenges.
They're problems. They're really opportunities dressed in work clothes, and our work clothes have been getting pretty dirty lately. But yes, in a 100-year-old building, we are growing food four stories up, growing 100 bags of groceries 52 weeks a year with kids who didn't even know what vegetables were, en route to outstanding academic performance, school system performance, and along the way, we're getting thousands of pounds of vegetables, which beats Ritalin in detention every day of the week.
Fresh, healthy, pesticide, insecticide, herbicide-free. So, Steve, paint a picture for us, which only you can do, about what it's like to live in the South Bronx, what it's like to walk the streets and try to get an education at the same time. Katie, Emily, and I walked those streets from our subway stop to your school at the time, and talk about the neighborhood. Let people know, you know, it's rough. The streets of the South Bronx are kind of rough.
There are certain neighborhoods that are still very rough. And while the Bronx, you know, we have long since risen from the ashes. So make no doubt about it, the Bronx is no longer burning. I like to say we are the phoenix rising from the ashes. There are still tough pockets. Make no doubt about it. This is the poorest congressional district in America. And Hunts Point, 4% of the residents have a college diploma.
Wow.
Okay, 1 out of 10 of my kids' parents only have a high school diploma. And while graduation rates in New York City are at an all-time high of 78%, in the South Bronx, that is 28%. Okay, significantly different. 99% of my kids qualify for free or reduced lunch. 100% of my kids are either English language learners, special needs children, foster care, or adjudicated youth. That's tough. That is tough. I'm in a community that has 37% food insecurity. And the simple reality is, on top of that, cheap food is killing that community. We have the highest rates of obesity, chronic heart disease, childhood obesity, childhood diabetes. I mean, I am routinely seeing kids in second and third and fourth grade going through puberty. And I tend to believe a lot.
Steve, we lost you. And we're going to try and get you back. I'm hanging on your every word. I think we got him. Steve,
si se puede.
What happened? Like, we're having severe storm warnings here. So did the line just go dead?
It may, I'd like to believe it's something on your end as opposed to mine. My neighborhood isn't that bad. They haven't stole my phone yet.
It's like somebody's listening and they cut the line. You know, you're talking about kids, real lives, kids with real faces, obesity, poverty, certainly not a lot of families that are intact. All the odds.
Okay, absolutely. So I have the highest rate of children living in shelters. I have the highest rate of single parent homes. In some of my classes, 8 out of 10 kids have someone in their immediate family with diabetes. These are some of the issues that my kids face. It's just, you know, it's insane.
They almost face all the issues. Like that you.
They face all the issues.
You
know, it's interesting because a lot of, you know, so many of these kids are diagnosed for so many different reasons of special needs. But I think what's really happened is life has happened. And I think there are just a certain amount of traumatic life events that build up into kids' lives that ultimately affect them in ways that we can't even begin to prognosticate about. So it's very easy to label them instead of love them. And what these kids need is love. And again, my job is to love children and adults and faculty until they learn to love themselves. And that's really my job. That's my mission. The mission born in love, rooted in the belief that children shouldn't have to leave their neighborhood to live, learn, and earn in a better one. That right where we are, ground zero, should be where we put our foot in the ground and plant our stake and grow something greater by building small concentric circles of success. And remarkably, with me and my kids, it all starts with seeds.
It's transformational. And I want you to go back for a minute to having a global leader that literally you can partner with about climate change, because I had this guy on the show, Mark Underwood from the Rodale Institute, and he said if the entire world flipped a switch tomorrow and everybody in big ag switched to organic farming, we could not only stop the forward trajectory of climate change, but we could start reversing it because it's such a healthy environment and it sucks all the bad guys out of the air. So is that why it's so important for people to really, really get their head around good health, a healthy planet, literally starts with your food?
Well, make no doubt about it. Food is democracy. Where else can you make a decision but 3 times a day? That fooding, how you eat really is reflective of voting. It's about participatory democracy. So the more you move kids from being consumers to producers, the more you empower them to make healthy decisions about everything they do. But, you know, in my community, everything is a mess. And what do I mean by a mess? It's a manufactured edible synthetic substance, something that comes in a Ziploc bag with infinite shelf life, with nothing that anybody really gives a damn about except profit. It's based on an extraction economy. How can we get as much money as possible out of this community off the backs of these people who have as little as possible and leave them with nothing and then set them up for collateral health problems and all kinds of other, you know, things that have to have health care instead of self-care? So when you feed yourself and you nourish yourself, you know, you run a better chance of being far more successful in life. Listen, I drive a 1994 Toyota with 279,000 miles on it.
I've been in it. That's my claim to fame. I've been in that mobile.
You've been in it and didn't have an accident with me and saw me text, drive, take a cell phone call, and do work all at the same time.
I signed the compact to not tell about that, and you're not supposed to either.
All right. It's
you're
out.
The role
it's
model
out.
For the kids. Everybody.
But you wouldn't put, right, but to my point is you wouldn't put water or you wouldn't put vinegar in your sports car. And my children are my Maseratis and my Ferraris. And sadly, they're coming to school getting 2.5 to 3 meals a day at school. So input equals output. So if I can fuel their bodies and fuel their minds with the most nutritionally dense fuel in the world and give it to them where they need it most, right in school, I'm really doing them a huge favor. I'm changing the way they think about food, the way they think about themselves. And most importantly, Ms. Green, they are creating life. Because in the concrete jungle, they are so disconnected from nature and nurture that they don't even know what it is.
And
so
they know
the
what
ability
you're
to
giving
teach them
the
that children are living,
taste
breathing things.
Real
right,
food.
And
okay.
Taste it.
First
right.
Break. It felt like okey-dokey. 2 minutes, everybody.
Man, I'm just getting started.
Stay
hurry
here
up.
With
Do
us. We're cranking it up with the Green Bronze
right,
Machine.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
G Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at mrsgreensworld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@mrsgreensworld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. The name of our show today is The Green Bronx Machine, and I'm going to get one last chance to speak here in this segment. Our guest is Steve Ritz, and here's what I thought of Steve, and you got to love it, and I don't think anybody else put this together. To me, Steve Ritz is kind of like Harry Potter meets The Hobbit meets The Road Warrior. Do you love that?
I love it. I like it. Is. I'm going to put it in some different terms. I'm like Mr. Cotter meets The Wire, you know, on Sesame Street.
Somebody don't, a lot of people don't even remember who that is, so we're dating themselves. But kids today know who Harry Potter is, and you're all rolled up into a massive form of goodness on earth. And let me just say a little bit more about you. Just suffer through this. Affectionately known as America's favorite teacher. Yeah, stop that. Stephen, I didn't have those words come out of my mouth. Attendance from 40% to 93%. People, listen to this. Helped provide 2,200 youth jobs in the South Bronx and captured the United States EPA Award for transforming mindsets. Now that, to me, underline hashtag transforming mindsets, ending cycles of poverty, and transforming the landscapes in other than New York City. He's an American teacher who is a hero in the classroom. And let her rip. Okay, you were telling us about the Pope. So do you have any updates? Like, have you been hanging out with Oprah? I mean, who else?
Well, it's funny you mentioned. Well, yes, I believe it or not, Mrs. Green, last week I met Oprah. And you'll learn. Yes, I did. I can't believe it. You'll really laugh. I was speechless. I was like, Oprah!
Was that caught on camera, that you were speechless?
It was caught on camera. Speechless, yes. It's in 3D sense around. I'm just there shaking and tremoring. You feel my toenails wiggle. Literally, because that's all that could happen. Yes, it was Oprah! But
I'm so jealous.
Don't worry, I'll invite you. We have things coming, so stay in touch with the website and stay watching the Green Bronx Machine Facebook page. But most importantly, this coming week, we have two huge events. This Wednesday, September 30th, I will be visited in the South Bronx by the Global Teacher Prize team and the Varkey Foundation. They're coming to see how I put some of the prize money to use here in the South Bronx to build the National Health Wellness and Center, National Health Wellness and Learning Center, a state-of-the-art facility, which is absolutely unbelievable. In fact, it won the U.S. Green Building Council's Center for Green Schools Best of Green Schools Award, because we are net positive on food and energy. So not only are we creating life, we're creating energy, and we are 100% off the grid. We have bicycle power generators, solar generators. The kids grow their own food. It is really unbelievable. And just this week, we installed our state-of-the-art student cooking center. So not only are we going to be growing vegetables 52 weeks a year, we're going to be cooking them and training adults side-by-side with children for living wage jobs in high-end cooking jobs and all kinds of food handling certifications right in our local community school. So that's this Wednesday. And on Saturday, OMG, as the kids say, who would else can believe it? We're going to be featured on PBS, on a national PBS special called American Graduate, highlighting the road to graduation. I'm thrilled to say that Green Bronx Machine will be featured from the 3:30 to 4:30 segment at Eastern Standard Time on PBS. And on, October 30th, we're going to be part of the Michael Pollan film. So there's all kinds of good things coming. I'll be speaking at WOBE in November. I'll be part of the Social Innovation Summit in Geneva again this year. So good things are coming, but more importantly, block by block, classroom by classroom, we are changing lives and changing outcomes. We are building property values. We are taking abandoned and forlorn spaces and turning them into highly productive, aspirational, inspirational places. because every child deserves a safe, healthy, nurturing environment, a place where they can work and dream and aspire towards a better future. And classroom by classroom, we're doing just that. In fact, this week we launched the St. Louis Green Machine with some friends in the St. Louis Public School System and the Matthew Dickey's Boys and Girls Club. So I'm really excited about that. When I started this program, I said the Green Bronx Machine would be coming to a city near you soon. And I'm proud to say we've probably been about 40 to 50 cities this year. I'll be back in Colombia again next year, working in Medellin to help build out 80 educational parks along with my good friends, the Nutresa Foundation. So we are just getting started, harvesting hope and cultivating minds, not only here in America, but all around the world, because we are determined to grow something greater. And it is my job to inspire healthy living and inspire healthy giving all around the world. And giving can mean a whole lot of things, because we're doing a whole lot with a whole lot of little money. So giving means giving of your heart, giving of your mind, giving of your time. And that's really, again, what this mission is all about. It's all about love. And my job is to love kids until they learn to love themselves, and to love you until you love everybody else, and spread your good green message all around the world. I want to be a green radio diva. You mean I get to wear sexy green high heels? I was listening to the commercial. I love it.
I love the new format of the show. And everybody, we are a podcast series now. So some of the dates you mentioned, this show won't actually be aired until October 24th. But my listeners know I'm 100% total transparency. And everything that you want to know about what Steve is up to, what he's done, where he's been, go to the Green Bronx Machine website or Facebook page.
I don't have a Steve Ritz Facebook page. Truth be told, Mrs. Green,
who's Steve Ritz?
Never been on. No. I've never been on Facebook in my life. Believe it or not, and this is what's really cool. The kids run the Facebook page.
Crush so your my heart. Kids, you've never been on Facebook.
Yes, who has time for that? And now my mother's on Facebook. She's stalking me. She's writing to the children, said, tell Mr. Ritz to call his mother. The poor children, they think I'm a bad son. You know, my mother got new glasses and an iPad, and it's all over.
That's dangerous.
My life has never been, it's that gated community in Florida. Let me tell you, they're after me. But that's okay.
Oh, my God. I love
good.
You to the moon
but no, the
and
kids
back
run
again.
The kids run the Facebook page, and that's all part of it, because I believe that, you know, every kid has a niche, and every kid has a place, and every kid has a home. And finding that for a greater global good is what this work is all about. I don't expect every kid to be a farmer, but I expect them to read about it, write about it, blog about it, do the math, do the outstanding customer service, be involved, be engaged, and move things forward. And most importantly, when I tell kids to be quiet, the plants are having sex, you can hear a pin drop.
That gets there.
Right.
Attention.
I call it plant
and
parenthood.
I've seen him do it. Plant parenthood. Right. Oh, my God. You're just a series of hashtags. Like, you are one.
I guess so, yeah. Hashtag me, I guess.
Plant parenthood.
But no, I don't have a, right, you know, plant parenthood. Yeah.
Okay, but let's talk about, there are so many things I want you to share. I was so blessed to come and see you. Talk about what the transformation was. Okay, so everybody, we're driving in Steve's very beat-up car. He is talking to us. He is texting. He is answering phone calls. And yet we feel like we have an audience with our very own Pope, okay? Talk about the community that you created under, I don't remember if it was an expressway or the Long Island Railroad.
So we have a couple of interesting communities. We took over a six-block stretch of some of the six most desolate blocks in New York City.
Literally
and
took
turned
over.
It in. And, yeah, literally, we cracked the cement off the street to build a farm. And that farm literally feeds needy children and families across the Bronx. In fact, this year, it's really remarkable, was our most productive year ever. I learned a little something along the way on how to make the planting more kind of engaging for kids. And as a result, like once you start farming, you start like really loving every square inch. And this year I was told I had the most productive farms in all of New York City per square inch in the history of the borough. Oh. So that's kind of cool considering I have no farming and no Monsanto.
Considering it's not a farm under the throughway.
Right. but it really became a place where kids are engaged and involved, and they kind of wander through. So most importantly, I now have generations of kids giving back to this project. So kids who came up living and eating and getting food in local soup kitchens are now growing food for it. And the soup kitchens, rather than just feeding people, are also providing living wage job training opportunities for the culinary industry, not the fast food industry, because I'm not going to knock fast food, but, you know, I believe in living wage and living wage opportunities. So the fact that we are literally growing the raw ingredients as locally grown can get, you know, creating this hyper-local, hyper-connected economy is absolutely critical. You know, it's creating a sense of ownership in our community. It's creating a sense of property value. It's creating a sense of place. It's creating a sense of aspiration and inspiration. It's giving a place for seniors to hang out, and crime is down, graffiti is down, littering is down, vandalism is down, and participation is up, up, up. This past weekend, we had the largest back-to-school fair in the history of Community School 55, and I'm so proud to say that, because what was it dedicated to? Healthy living and stopping the violence in our community. And on top of that, we gave out 600 locally grown monster eggplants. It was pretty cool.
I love it. And people, picture this. This is a concrete jungle. I mean, I grew up in Jersey. I know all about the South Bronx. And these are some very tough neighborhoods. So you're driving down the street and all of a sudden, here's this stretch. You think you're in the Garden of Eden. And not kidding, there are chicken coops. It's become a daycare place where kids come after school and hang out and feel safe. So it's not
right.
just about
we've
growing
had weddings,
the food.
We've had teen careers, we've had sweet 16s, we have a weekly barbecue. It has really transformed the minds and the landscape of the community, and really given people, it's moved them from having nothing to having something, and really taught people how to be resilient, how to take ownership, and how not to depend on other people, but to solve their solutions and solve their problems right where we live, you know, by planting some seeds.
And does
so who knew?
Who knew? And I mean, I tell you what, I am so coming back there. I'm saying it on the air. I'm coming back, and we're going to get a lot of this caught on video, because I'm so jealous for everybody that gets to spend time with you. So talk about the business community in that area. How are they responding? I mean, if you are a smart business person, you want to be able to hire an educated, successful workforce that knows about getting places on time, that shows up for work, that, you know, creates a successful business for you. Are the business community members in the surrounding areas paying attention and helping you?
I'm grateful for any and all support we get. Would I like to have more support? Yes. But
yeah.
Really? There's only one of me and there's only one of my wife, and Lord knows we stay up way too many hours anyway. But what are we real grateful for? Job placement. And that's the most important thing. So I've got to tell you that people who come through, we jokingly, my wife's name is Lizette, and we always call it Camp Lizette. Everybody says I'm too nice and Lizette's the tough one because she keeps me in line. Anyone who goes through Camp Lizette is really prepared to get a job. And that's the most important thing, because this is a community with 40% unemployment. We have some of the most chronic unemployment and underemployment in all of New York City. So the fact that people show up and grow up and are prepared to get dirty and get down and learn how to say please, thank you, have a nice day, and in the process are treated with dignity and respect makes all the difference in the world. And so, as you so aptly pointed out, we have partnered towards 2,200 local jobs. This past June, I helped place 55 local, overage, undercredited kids into full-time employment. That is awesome.
It
and
is.
If that's not enough, we built a farm at the Bronx Zoo. And that was really cool because, you know, we've got to learn how to feed the animals. So my little guys are running that. And it was really cool because when we set out to feed the animals, the kids were like, oh, we could bring them pizza and Skittles. And I'm like, not on my shit.
You want to kill them.
What are the kids really learning? Well, they're really learning what is normal, what is expected, what is a life cycle, you know, what is a plant cycle, what is a food web, what is a food chain. And that's critical because not only is it really fun for them at a young age, and I will tell you that the peacocks are traveling all around the Bronx to come visit my kids and eat our kale, which the kids think is so cool. You know, kids usually traditionally like these big iconic animals in the zoo, and now they're learning about all the animals, which is a beautiful thing, and really getting involved with them. But, you know, it's teaching them water conservation, soil conservation, It is connecting them to nature. And I always say, when you teach kids about nature, you teach them to nurture. And when we teach children to nurture, we as a society collectively embrace our better nature. And my kids cannot be well-read if they're not well-fed. So feeding them well and feeding the planet well and feeding animals well learns and turns itself into a healthier, more respectful, more environmentally responsible citizenship. And that's awesome. No more running water. I have planet police and garbage police and recycling police and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And that's going to have a multiplier effect for these kids' lives and their communities, which is tremendous.
And Planned Parenthood. I'm never going to forget that as long as I live.
The kids are pollinating plants instead of each other. So, yes, this is my version of Planned Parenthood.
So it's really great because that's under fire, too. So I just want to say Lisette is awesome. And she, it takes a team. And I have seen this team in action, and they are the force. I'll have to think of some names for her that combine Harry Potter and all of those great things, The Hobbit and The Road Warrior. Okay, what do you say to people that I know there are people listening and they're saying, yeah, well, you know, he's the green Bronx machine. Listen to him. He's got diarrhea. He keeps on going. He's going to really change the planet, is already changing it, transformative lives, things that matter. How can I possibly do something like this in my community? What do you say to those little voices in our heads that say, no, we can't. No, it's not possible.
Well, again, impossible is not a word in my vocabulary. Impossible is. So I certainly, for those of the naysayers, I say pick up a copy of your good book and start reading Mrs. Green's book. There's one good suggestion. I mean, you know, it should have been called The Moron's Guide to Changing the World. But, you know, you're
maybe
a little bit more politically correct. you're a little bit more politically correct than me. Listen, can I challenge the listeners out there to use one square of toilet paper less a week? I challenged my students to do that one square less a day, and we wound up saving our arts and crafts program and making tons of stuff. So if my elementary school students can, so can you. Can you shut the water off a little sooner? Can you look at where your food is coming from? Can you look at where your clothing is coming from? Can you look at how you're sourcing things? Can you print on both sides of the paper, damn it? Little things, you know. But it's all about little things adding up. I never expected to be the person I am. I never expected to be doing this work. But I got to tell you, it's addictive and very reinforcing. So get out there and do something. You know, take one, you know, we're all little tadpoles swimming in the pond. Take that one green leap. You know, Kermit said it best. It's not easy being green in hell. He's back on prime time. 45 years later, that damn rabbit has put that damn frog has put a lens on sustainability that's just mind-numbing. So really, do something.
Yes.
Get out of the shower 5 seconds earlier. You know, just little things that really add up. But local food really makes a difference. You know, so much of our food comes from halfway around the world, bathed in oil, and literally produced by people who tend to look like my kids, getting paid slave wages for it. And that's not ethical. Education is part of it. Decision making is part of it. And voting with your fork 3 times a day makes a huge difference. So understand where and how you're spending your money. And my kids are doing that. And most importantly, they're spending it locally and growing it locally. And that's cool because, you know, Lord knows we need more economic growth in our own communities. We want to see those dollars stay there as well as opportunities.
And you talk about things like a livable wage and what that really means. People cannot survive on $8 and anything per hour. And I love seeing that there are big companies that are taking the leap and saying it's going to affect our earnings per share, but we're going to pay people $15 an hour, which gives them a chance to break the cycle. To me, that makes everybody winners when they do something like that, because it gives people a chance to really and truly do a livable wage. And Steve Ritz, Green Bronx Machine, we are up on the second break. I feel like I'm in a time warp, okay? We got to throw that in.
Man, we were just getting started.
Oh, my gosh.
So get out there, do your business, and let's come back and make it a quick green flush, and let's come back.
Everybody stay tuned. We have lots more to share. We're never going to get it all in,
don't
and I'm already
go
going to
anywhere.
Schedule.
In the meantime, during commercial break, oh, never mind. I won't say that. I'll stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And what I'm going to do is just like let you take over the last part of the show. This is a man that is one big si se puede standing ovation. Stay right here with us, the Green Bronx Machine, when we come back.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Back, everybody, and thanks for joining us. My face hurts from smiling for the past 40 minutes. We are most fortunate to have as our guest today Steve Ritz, aka the Green Bronx Machine. And I have to say more stuff that embarrasses him, because believe me, he could care less. He's all about making a difference, but he's an amazing thought leader. He's a human being extraordinaire, and I have to learn how to spell that. But Steve has.
I'm not a Republican candidate for president, though. Not yet. I may have to declare.
OMG. Yeah, there's a really full pool there. But just, no matter how hard I try, this show is all about Steve. But his message is about hope. It's about urgency. It's about resilience. It's about what he says, a mayor I can innovation. So one more thing that I want to tell people about this. I'm proud that you're my friend. So Steve received the first standing ovation in the 13-year history of Green Biz. And they are a rather, they're a great group, but I wouldn't say they're like, you don't associate them with a lot of laughter. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
Well, I went back and did it again. So not only did I get a standing ovation once, I went back this past spring in your great state of Arizona. And did it again. And I'll be speaking at Verge this October in San Jose.
So this man is so used to standing
ovations. And I'm
going to
be not talking about
the
past. I'm going to be talking about the future, because that's really what it's about. It's about the future. And although my mother called, and you better call her back, you know, it is thinking about the future. So if you haven't picked up the book, you need to get a copy of Gina Murphy Darling's great book, Your Mother Called. You better call her back. But if you can't, at least buy the book and read it.
And she just does keep calling. So you have had many proud moments, and I want to get inside your feelings at a level of, what did you feel like when you're bringing fourth and fifth grade students from the South Bronx through the gates of the White House? Like, I was tearing up when I read this. I got to go to the White House once, and I literally cried the whole time. When the president came into the room, I was like, thank God I'm not being caught on camera. But anyway, you brought fourth and fifth grade students who got invited to meet the White House chef. William is his last name, Yosis. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yep, you got it right.
To talk about, to exchange ideas, not have them lecture to, but to exchange ideas about food literacy.
Oh, it got great. So I'm going to invite you. So not only did we get to go to the White House chef came to visit us in the South Bronx. And we grew food for him, and we planned our meal, and we actually did the New York Times cooking show, my kids in the South Bronx. And what's remarkable about that is, for many of my elementary school kids, it was their first time out of the Bronx going to Manhattan with their parents. And we got to cook on stage the New York Times show with the very food we grew in school. This year, we're hosting Chef Bill Yassis again, along with Greg Chang, and we'll be inviting them to our classroom to cook in our new state-of-the-art kitchen in the National Health, Wellness, and Learning Center. And Mrs. Green, you can come on down.
Oh, my gosh.
Last year, we had kids from around the world. We had public schools, charter schools, and private schools, and we all know about the schism that is public education. So I'd like to say I took that upon myself to make sure that we had union schools, non-union schools, public schools, and private schools, some of the wealthiest, some of the poorest, and international schools. We even had Si Se Puede Mexicans come in from Mexico to join us, and we made our Green Bronx Machine grow your own Mexican, American, grow your own Tower Garden tacos. That's right, and the chef cooked with us in our class. He'll be back this December. We'll be cooking for the New York Times again in January. So come on down, Miss Green. You can always stay in our extra green bedroom.
So
we got a green room waiting for you. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yep, yep, yep. And can you see me? I'm doing a standing ovation. I can't wait till we have Mrs. Green on TV so people can watch my reaction. So let's talk about, I have another question for you. How do you do, I interview people from all over the world, and you know that. And I know you watch what I'm doing, and I know that you're proud
right?
of me.
Right, I'm a fan.
And that
so
makes me proud.
Not only am I a guest, hey, ladies and gentlemen,
you're a friend.
I am a fan.
And
right, I'm a fan and a friend. And I believe in the work that you are doing and that we are doing. And that's what this is about. It's about we. It's not about me. It's about we.
Yeah, but
and you've always been very collaborative. So
let's not even go there. Like, I'm just telling you, if you don't slip Oprah my card or a copy of my book, we're breaking up. But anyway, here's the deal. You do so well what frustrates me a lot in this walk as Mrs. Green. I call it integration of thought. You really are all about food, but your thought leadership integrates things like solar, like cutting down on electricity, like getting neighborhoods engaged. What do you want to say? What is your opportunity for people to integrate their thought and be thought leaders that don't just go into their silos? I'm about energy. I'm about solar. I'm about water. But integrate the whole concept, because we are one planet and we are hurting. Let's be honest.
Right. Now more than ever, there is a sense of interconnectedness that we cannot deny. So again, I think, you know, in sum, it's no longer about me. It has to be about we. You know, with the touch of a button, we can connect around the world. And because we can, we have an obligation and the ability to get this right. And we need to, because we've gone from decades of lost opportunity perilously close to what I feel may be the decade of last opportunity. Now, the upshot is, because of books like yours and shows like yours, you know, the amplification of this message is huge. And, you know, we have a potential multiplier effect that can change the world. So when I speak to corporations, I ask them not to clap for me, but to extend their hands to the competition, to put an end to poverty, to put an end to, you know, hunger, and to really grow something greater, because capitalism done right, listen, capital drives markets, but capitalism done right can change the world. And we as consumers have got to be more mindful of how we align with brands, because brands amplify our voice. And that's why, of course, I'm so delighted to be affiliated with your brand, because your brand is a good green voice. And that's what it's really about, elevating the voices that are really advocating for change that benefits all, not just a few, for an inclusive economy, for an inclusive planet, not where few people benefit on the backs of so many others, but where together we can all prosper. And because of the transparency of media now, we have the ability to drive that forward. And for our children's sake and for our grandchildren's sake, we have got to get this right. We can, we must, we have the ability, and we have an obligation. Come on, everybody, let's do something. Let's grow something greater. And that's what this is all about.
Do something. And, you know, I'll never forget this. And this is the whirling dervish brain, but we're walking down the street and all of a sudden there's this vacant parking lot and there's a bunch of every shape, size, color, age, mostly women. And I think they were doing a Zumba class outside. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I love the Zumba people, man.
Oh, my gosh. It's like when you talk about transforming communities, it's not just about watching plants grow and getting kids to eat healthier. That's really, really important. It changes the landscape. It changes everything. But it's really about transforming communities and getting people to come out.
It's about participatory democracy.
Yes,
That's what this is about. This is about participatory democracy and citizenship. I like to say, yeah, people say I'm a farmer. Yeah, they say I'm an educator. You know what I am? I am an equity warrior. And that's what really this is about. Every voice matters. Every child matters. And neither zip code nor skin color should determine people's outcomes in life. You know, it's about seeds, and seeds represent genetic potential. And I want every single person to reach their God-given potential on this earth and to grow something greater with a multiplier effect. That's what it's about.
And I wish I had a recorder here, and I'm going to have to play the show back, because I am into hashtags, okay? I love Instagram. The only person on the Mrs. Green's World team that does Instagram is me, and you are just a hashtag waiting to happen. Like, people should just follow
you
around.
Well, Green Bronx Machine does have an Instagram page. There's some new kids doing it. We have a lovely 13-year-old doing Instagram. We have a middle school kid doing our Facebook page. So please, what do you like Instagram or follow Instagram? I don't know either. But, you know, Miss Green, your obligation is to get out there and get us a couple of 100,000 followers or likers. And please, if nothing else, people around the world, like the Green Bronx Machine Facebook page. My kids in the South Bronx get such a kick connecting with people around the world for something far more important than the color of Rihanna's bikini. So please, hopefully it's green, but you can connect with my kids on something valuable and give them a vote of affirmation and connect with them around saving the world and saving their life and hopefully saving your life too.
You know, this is a question that I've always wanted to ask you. And I mean, I cannot even imagine what it's like to be inside your head for 5 seconds. And I think I'm bad enough. Like, it is a dangerous place. There's a lot of noise going on there.
And a crash helmet. Yeah, the committee's in full session.
The committee is in full session. And they're all talking at once. So on your journey, and it's been a while, it's almost 10 years, okay? Do you have some Kodak moments? Do you have moments that you sit there and you think, hashtag OMG, this is a moment I will never forget? I would think being the presence of the Pope has to be right up there, because isn't he
everybody's
today, hero?
Okay, today I got on the bus in Midtown Manhattan. You know who was driving the bus? One of my former students. I couldn't believe it. Now, my first instinct was to get the hell off that bus and just walk the rest of the way. But to see my kid behind, you know, hey, Mr. Ritz, remember? I mean, every day. And this is the big takeaway. So every day has a Kodak moment. Every day is an opportunity to do something great. As long as I get up and put my feet on the ground, I'm going to go out there and make a difference. It may not be the biggest difference, but it'll be a small difference. And you never know how that small difference adds up into something great. Now, every day I get up and swing for the fences. Some days I hit home runs. Some days I strike out. And some days I get singles. But singles add up. But again, my job is to love people until they learn to love themselves. And as long as I have a breath of air in me, I'm determined to put as many people on my back and walk the walk and talk the talk that needs to be done to engage and involve people to a greater global good. So every day has a Kodak moment. There are so many wonderful Kodak moments. There are a couple of great punctuation points. Yes, meeting the Pope was wonderful. But quite frankly, meeting you has had a much bigger multiplier effect, because I picked up a copy of your book and I turned that into actionable items for my kids to do. So there are those great Hollywood moments. Yes, Oprah's a wonderful moment. But you know what? Having kids come here to my home and having them introduce them to my wife and I, to their spouses or potential spouses, is infinitely cooler. And that's what it's about, seeing kids graduate, seeing kids get jobs, seeing kids driving and owning things and, you know, buying. I had a kid who bought a car and he bought the car because he felt it was a PZEV, a practically zero emissions vehicle. I thought that was pretty cool, because I remember when that kid couldn't spell practically zero emission or vehicle. So that's kind of cool to me. You know, there are big victories here and little victories, but they all add up. And that's what it's about.
And you talk about things, it is the multiplier effect. And this is not a little statistic, and I glossed over it because I want it really to be all about your story. But when you're talking about increasing attendance from 40% to 93%, that's transformative and changing the world. And I love that you brought up about the bus driver, because what I know from my background in social services is that this big, huge thing that you're doing helps the next engineer, helps the next research scientist. You have no idea what's inside these little kids in fourth and fifth grade. So instead of dropping out, they're staying in school, and they might not be on Top Chef, but they might be a head engineer at one of the world's largest companies over time. Is that I don't even think that's hyperbole.
Listen, every day I tell my kids, I'm looking at the next Barack Obama, the next Sandra Sotomayor, the next Rachel Carson,
yes,
the next Junot Diaz. You know, these are the kids I'm looking at. And to me, that's the most of the kids who are going to go out and change the world. And if nothing else, change their community. And to me, that's the most important thing, to instill them this spirit that, you know, you don't have to be a rap star or a rapper or an athlete. You know, being a science nerd is cool. Saving the planet is really cool. It's more about this thing and less about the bling. It's about cooperation and coalition and collaboration. And I'm playing nice in the sandbox and understanding that every place, everything, every organism has a place in this planet. And that plants and people are living, breathing things, wholly dependent on clean air and clean water. And remarkably, those are in limited quantity. So we better be smart with how we use them. And, you know, energy, too. My room is net positive on energy. So the fact that kids who were traditionally running the hallways and creating behavioral problems around the school can now, for the privilege of coming in and getting on the bicycle, can run enough electricity to charge a cell phone or a laptop and make a decision by consensus as to where or who's going to get that energy is wholly remarkable. I mean, year to date last year, we saw a 50% reduction in out of class time and behavioral incidents in the school. That means teachers are teaching, children are learning. This year, believe it or not, we had an excess of people wanting to come work at my school. And we're a traditionally very hard to staff school, A, because of the location, B, because of the people in the community that we serve. It's tough. It's geographically isolated. But because we've created this wonderfully inspiring institution, people are showing up wanting to work. And that is changing the culture and the performance of the school. And more importantly, it's changing the impact that we're having on the planet. Kids are eating healthier. They're losing weight. They're eating vegetables. They're drinking water. We're not throwing away garbage from plastic bottles. We're using a water dispenser and reusable water bottles. How cool is that? I have garbage police. Man, don't drop a bottle in my school. You're going to have a third grader whop you up.
Whop you up the side of the head, and they will. And exactly. That, to me, of course, is about even preventing cancer. And, Steve, this is what you embody for me. What you brought up and what a takeaway for me is going to be, without any drama, the bus driver. Because that kid, when he was born, had a better chance of going to jail than getting a job. I know the statistics. I've had criminologists on the show. The odds were stacked against him. And there he was saying, "Hi, Mr. Ritz," driving a bus, which is such an honorable thing to do. It's like, that's the embodiment of who you are. You don't have to be the head of IBM or, you know, some major company.
No, it's a life of service.
It's a life.
I am blessed to do service. And that's what, if everyone would just, you know, think more about service, I think the world would be a better place.
An edible wall, like we're walking in. I remember every place we went.
Plant the seed. Yeah, grow something. Yeah, grow something. Do something. Reduce something. You know, just try a little harder. Come a little early. Stay a little later. Say please, thank you. Have a nice day. You know, roll up your sleeves. Get a little dirty. That's
get
what
your
really
hands
all
in
about.
The dirt. I mean, it is truly transformative. So what is your, we have about 2 minutes left. I cannot even stand it. I am in a time warp. I admit it. You said do just one thing. Is in deep, 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 deep down in Steve Ritz's soul, would one of the things that you say to people is plant something? Because I can tell you for me, it is about that. Create a little urban garden. Wherever you are, you can plant something and watch it grow. So that, you know, saving
take
toilet paper.
Take time to smell the flowers. Yeah.
Yes.
Take time to smell the flowers. And use a little less toilet paper, by the way. Yes.
We always like that.
Or as one of Mrs. Green's favorite suggestions, pee in the shower. I've done it daily, and I tell the kids, don't make me kick you with my dirty foot.
Please don't be making people think about me when they're peeing in the shower. It's like,
okay,
but it's so
worse
true.
Things.
It's one thing they can do. I know my friend's husband asked her to please take my book out of the bathroom, which is where I suggest people put it, because he felt like I was in the bathroom with him, and that was like not a comfortable place for him to be. So I get through, and that's great too. Steve Ritz, we are going to be watching you. The world is watching you. I'm sure the Pope is watching you, and I'm going to hashtag the heck out of Popealicious. And
okay, hashtag the hell out of Popealicious. Please like my kids at Green Bronze Machine Facebook. Check out our website. We do have a GoFundMe campaign. And
tell
really,
us, what's
know,
the GoFundMe? Hurry.
Okay, yeah, we have a GoFundMe campaign. You can actually starting next month, you can vote with your fashion palette and get a Green Bronze Machine t-shirt. They'll
we
be on sale
go.
Soon. Yes, so get a Green Bronze Machine t-shirt. They're organic. GoFundMe, it's on the website. And talk to you soon.
I love you, man.
Where they. Love you, too. Thanks kindly.